This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
What up? Tonight is going to be a sick show because we're going to talk about all the crazy stuff in the news. All the stuff that you guys are seeing, if you're paying attention to culture, what's cracking. It's wild out there right
There's
now.
Crazy things going on. It seems like every week some big story's popping, and you know, a lot of people are, you know, spewing different views on this stuff. So thought it'd be proper just to kind of maybe kick some of these things up tonight.
Yeah. So first of all, Sean, tell me a little bit about that that guy that just OD'd in the hotel room.
Well, there's a lot of, there's a lot of things. This is here in Southern California. So just a little bit ago, about a month ago, I remember I was at the gym and I was, saw this thing all over the news, this news reporter that was found dead. And it was like right after Christmas in his motel room. And I remember seeing the story. I guess he's a very well-known personality on the Channel 5 News here in Southern California, was known to visit a lot of places, was really interactive with like fans and stuff of the radio, of the TV station.
He had a family too.
He had a family. I think he had two kids. He was married. All the people talked, raved about him, and they were just brokenhearted and devastated that he died. And then there was one thing that caught my attention, that he was found dead in a motel room in Van Nuys. But they also said that he lived in Van Nuys. And so I thought, like, if you're in a hotel room in the city that you live in, doesn't really sound good, right?
No.
As time went on, there was a lot of stuff. They had the memorial service. It kind of went dead a little bit as far as what was taking place. But just recently, they released the story. And the story was nuts. It was crazy. Basically what happened, this guy was living a double life. They said that he didn't have a drug problem. That's what his wife or people would say close to him.
He looks like a clean-cut guy. When
very clean-cut. Didn't say that he was homosexual. He's married. But as the story goes on, he had this hotel room that was all decked out like in S&M bondage stuff.
No way.
There was a man that he went to go meet there. Both of them were doing a bunch of methamphetamines. They were doing so much meth that he took it to the next level, wearing a mask with different kind of like inhalants underneath the mask and doing a lot of crazy stuff, putting meth on different places of his body, having the guy.
How do they have this information of all the?
It's the police report. It's the autopsy going through the whole thing. The main reason why they get all the information was from the guy himself that was there with him, because the guy was scared because the guy died and he was the only one there.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be like guilty of murder. So he had to go through the details, and it was crazy. It sounded demonic, to tell you the truth.
100%.
I mean, there was obviously sodomy that was taking place.
Yeah.
So much so that it was all the way through the act. The guy saw that he was acting funny. He pulled the mask off, and he was actually vomiting in his mouth, and he was dying. He was convulsing. Called the paramedics. They tried to revive him. He tried to do it. He died from meth-induced intoxication, but also his heart rate and everything was just going out of control, out of crazy. And they come into this room that was decked out in this gnarly S&M bondage thing, and then finding out that he is a well-known TV personality in the local area.
That is dark.
Then finding out that, you know, as they go through, wife, children, everybody's devastated. But, you know, looking at it from like our perspective, it's like the Bible talks about like the heart of man can go dark and wicked. Mm-hmm. And we're living in a culture today where we see a lot of this stuff. Like it's definitely a demonic influence. I mean, it would be kind of like, you know, we used to say back in the day, a weekend warrior, you know, somebody that kind of worked at his whole thing throughout the week, but the weekend, Friday night, Sunday night, Saturday night, he's just going nuts and crazy, back to work on Monday. It's a little bit like that, but to the extreme. Yeah. Like no one close to him knew that he was either struggling with this stuff or was into this stuff, and it cost him his life. He was young. I don't know how old he was, but he's probably our age. He might have been a little bit younger, to tell you the truth. And just like that, a life taken away by giving over to some kind of crazy thing that was like a sensation of like lust.
Fantasy. Yep. Lust, fantasy, drugs. And you know, when you mess with crystal, that stuff, there's something about it, man. It's like it's white, it looks clean, but it's dark.
It is dark.
And when you do that stuff, it just unleashes darkness in your life. I mean, you know how many people we know that, I mean, remember our, without saying names, that homie that was living in the back side of his parents' house, all clucked out and, and no showers and dirty and you just see it just literally sucks the life out of you. And then even like the perversion, it's like a sex drug too.
It is.
Like it messes with your mind.
It does.
You know what I mean? It messes with your mind and it brings in this perversion into your life. And people get into hardcore porn when they're on that, the progressive porn.
You remember when you were young, like in high school, and guys getting into meth, and there were, again, close friends who are to ours that, you know, got in that lifestyle before you know it, kind of consumed with like kind of like devil worshiping music, just an evil vibe. You go to the house, you just felt like an evil presence back in the day.
Yep. Dude, they'd be doing pentagrams of they line up pentagrams of speed and then do the whole thing, stay for like 7 days. They all had buck knives. And it was like all Deicide music.
Yeah.
What does Deicide mean? I forget. It means something crazy. Like the lead singer of Deicide, like, had an upside down cross burned into his forehead that his grandma was into witchcraft that put. It's like all that was
just
nuts,
just gnarly. Crazy. I just remember stuff. As crazy as we are going there, and you just felt like, no man, this place is evil. And then even before I came to the Lord, I got back into methamphetamine. So when you bring up like the perversion, the sex, the porn, all that stuff, it does open up a gateway that's just there's perversion, there's darkness, there's demonic. When I talked about me and you both battled with being oppressed by demonic spirits back in the day before we came to the Lord, and mine was heavily induced by methamphetamines. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it depraves you of reality. It depraves you of sleep. It depraves you of food intake.
Mm-hmm.
You take all these things and you're just totally consumed with this drug that has ramifications to it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it at this level, you know, it's been a problem for a lot of people, and it's coming back again. It's not gone anywhere.
But you know what's interesting? Really quick, I looked up Deicide. It means the killer of God.
Oh wow!
So, what's interesting
that
too?
That explains a lot.
Even with this whole thing that's happening, even with like this guy's story, you know, there's also in the news recently where there was like a bunch of a bunch of Catholic priests
that were
getting busted for
child molestation.
Yes, child and sleeping with other boys and young people in. This whole movement that's happening within that. There was actually a priest that got busted not too long ago in New York City. Same thing. He was a priest. He was in New York or New Jersey, somewhere out there on the East Coast. And he got busted for taking millions of dollars from the church. And he also got busted with like an S&M drug-induced whole thing. This same exact story with this news anchor happened to a priest on the East Coast.
Man, it is intense, like some of these stories, but it's reality.
Yeah,
you know, these aren't made up stories. If you're tuning in right now, this is Live with Ryan Reese, and we're just going to be talking about a lot of the issues that are taking place in our world today. There's a lot of things taking place with the Whosoever's. Always encourage you to check out thewhosoever's.com, but also this radio show has been going on for almost 3 years. I think more than 3 years now. And so all the archives of the show, you can go to ryan-reese.com, but also the Whosoever's have a new app, so make sure that you download it to keep up to speed with all that's taking place with the Whosoever's.
It's all free. It's all good. Yeah, and the next subject I want to talk about is, obviously, we do tour the high schools. We go to the middle schools, and that's the whole purpose, is to get in front of these students. And recently, in Orange County, there was, at Aliso Viejo High School, there was a suicide of a kid, and he just committed suicide. They found him, and everyone's just baffled.
Yeah.
I got a phone call yesterday from a Calvary Chapel pastor in Denver. I forget where in Denver. But basically what happened is some kid just committed suicide in his church. Out of nowhere, just committed suicide in his church. And now everyone's just baffled again, going, why is there so much suicide? What is going on with all these students? Mm-hmm. So right now a door has opened that we are going to be going to Denver and doing we're going to tour this. Now they are like, okay, we want you guys to come and tour the schools, and then we want to do like an outreach for the community with a band or some kind of event to reach the community, because it's just wild right now. The suicide, epidemic. It's in our face. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And it's really at every level. Like you see it in the high school, right? You hear these stats that are coming up from the military, and they're not going away. There are multiple guys that come back from the military that are committing suicide. There's older people that are committing suicide. There's musicians that have been out of the limelight that now all of a sudden they're committing suicide. There were pastors in this last year, a couple here in
there
California.
Was there a couple pastors?
There was one that was close in like the Chino Hills or Chino area that was going through a lot of stuff and, committed suicide, devastated the church. There was another one up in Oxnard not too long ago as well. Same kind of scenario. I don't know if there was as much information than the other one. But the same thing, they were lead pastors in their ministry, both of with thriving ministries, going through a lot of overload, like overwhelmed, stressed, I think anxiety, a lot of these things. Depression crept in, didn't let anyone really know or try to power through it. But man, there's an oppression. There is an oppression that is facing this generation, all ages. And the only one that can conquer it is the Lord. Like, I'm mindful of these things. I feel there's warfare that I face. There's warfare I know that you face. Mm-hmm. And that we need to stay close to the heartbeat of God, man. When I look at these things in the news, I know you do too, we look at them like out of the lenses of like what we know to be true. The Bible, the Lord, the reality of spiritual warfare. And it's like, man, it just kind of motivates you to be like praying for people and being open by God's Spirit wherever He would take us, and not to be closed-minded to reach out to maybe some people that some people would try to rule off or not reach out to.
I think this whole suicide thing is because we live in a different age now. I mean, if you look back from the 80s, 90s, I think is when pagers came out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Was it 90s?
Yeah, 90s.
Yeah, 90s, high school.
Yep.
Yeah, 90s, the pagers came out, and then the cell phones, and then the emails and all that, you know. So life was a lot simpler back then.
Social media probably strong for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, life was simpler. I mean, you had to go home before and check your answer machine and see if anyone called you.
Right.
Then you check it late at night or whenever you get home, and then you can make your phone calls back. There was a slow process, mail, you know, fax machine. That was, like, pretty cutting edge when that came out. Yeah. But my point is now it's like there's so many things this generation, you and I, are facing that you're so connected. You know, just today I was totally like chill. I was going about my day. I'm like, because I could get really like anxiety or like stressed out easy.
Right.
Because there's so many things I want to accomplish in a day. And when you have this device in front of you, you can accomplish a lot. You can get a lot of text messages going, phone calls, emails operating. Right. And then you're trying to run your social media and just all the different things that you use for work. And, you know, it could get crazy, but I think, you know, now is what we really have to figure out is how to navigate through this stuff. I mean, just the other day, last weekend it was, or a couple weekends ago, there was a day that was the Kill the Noise Day. It was like a national day for like a Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Because the world's realizing like there has to be a day to relax. You know, that's why God's given us that Sabbath.
Yep.
But with technology, it's either going to control us or we're going to learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what's going on, even if you're a pastor or whoever you are, it's like if you're caught up in overload, a human body can only take so much.
Yep.
You can only put so many images and so much information in your mind at one time.
Right.
And also, with that said, now think about the stuff that you're watching, okay? The stuff that you're watching on a cell phone, we've talked about this. The cell phone could either, for lack of words, you know, Christianese words, it's either going to bless your soul, encourage you, or it's going to curse your soul. There's no in between.
Yeah.
It's what you look at. The eye is the light of the body. When you look at it, it's what goes in, what comes out. If you are getting bombarded with information, you're stressed out already by work and all this stuff, and then the stuff you're watching, the stuff you're listening to, if it's the stuff that would literally curse your soul, the stuff that is the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, you add all that overload of content and of garbage inside of you. Why do you think people are going crazy?
Well, you just said something right now that trips me out because I was just reading before I walked over here right now about the eye. And I looked it up on the Bible. The word eye is found 571 times in the Bible out of the 66 books in the Bible. That's a lot. If you type in the word faith and love and whatever, that's a high number of eye. The Bible has a lot to say about it. And on the Sermon on the Mount, what you kind of reference right now is it talks about the eye being the light. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And it is. is. It is a gateway into the mind. And that's where pornography destroys lives. Just information overload. And you know, the body, computers and all these things are mirrors of the human body and what they can do. As an eye can see information all around them and be able to dissect what they see, and it brings that information into your brain and be able to, you know, react to it. Go ahead.
Jesus addressed pornography back then on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yep.
So what does he say? But if you even look on a girl with lust, you are committing adultery. There's your porn.
Yeah.
Right there.
No, yeah. And it destroys lives. It's overload. And that's where if we allow this to get filled with a bunch of garbage,
your heart, your mind,
like, and it's just consumed with it, dude, there's results to it. And that's why you have to make a conscious effort. Like, man, I gotta turn this off. I gotta move these distractions from my life because there's too much noise. I mean, you've called it the kill the noise thing of the high schools. And it is, and it's funny that the world is saying the same thing as well, because too much information, too much overload. And then you look at some of the results that are in our culture. You think it's a coincidence that the high rate of anxiety, depression, all of these things are facing this generation? And yet they have a lot of stuff. They have a lot of technology, a lot of things that are supposed to make your life more comfortable, which they do in some ways. You know, you can't get lost anymore.
If you use them the right way.
Yeah.
If you use the electronics the right way. My question to you is, do you think that news anchor was just one day to the next like, hey, man, let's do some crystal, hook up with a dude and get S&M?
No.
Sadomasochism.
No. That was the most likely
progression of stuff that he watched.
Yep.
That's what led him to that moment. You don't just turn into an S&M guy overnight.
No.
It's a progression of pornography. You start with the soft porn, the Playboy, and then you work your way on through. You know that. We used to watch porn. It progresses.
This goes into everything. And this goes in. There was a statement that Chuck used to say, and I've always stuck with it, but it's true on both sides. It's this. You don't fall into sin. That's a terminology Christians like to use sometimes. You fall into sin. You don't fall into sin. You walk into sin. Mm-hmm. As a believer, you have conviction of the Holy Spirit.
I've never fell
like,
into sin.
You just know. There's so many warnings to not go there. And the same thing, if you dissect back from where you find yourself in, maybe you find yourself in a tough situation where you're totally caught up in something. If you press rewind, you'll go back to see it was starting with this. It was starting with a look. It was starting with this lust. It was starting with secretly watching something. Or having some people next to you that are influencing you with bad information, perverted stuff, and now all of a sudden it gets your attention, and now it's leading you astray into a way where now you're in bondage to these things.
And that's why James it says, resist the devil and he will flee.
Yeah.
Resist.
That's what this really comes down to. Everything that we've talked about so far, it is like that battle between good and evil. The battle between serving God or resisting the devil, like it's a choice that we have to make in our lives, and it's a thing that a lot of people are succumbing to in our world today, and not seeing it. People don't see the spirits around that's around them, but there are things that are alluring. There's crazy laws that are being passed in our world today. There are so many things that are being celebrated, lifestyles, different things like identity, sexual identity is so misconstrued. Like, you fill out applications now and it's like, are you a male, a female, or binary?
Not on the passports yet.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all these things are coming, and it's like, where are we living?
Yeah, no, dude, it's seriously bizarre. The thought, I mean, you know, and I just want to touch on this a little bit because we already did a show about this.
Yeah.
But the whole abortion thing, you know, they're saying, okay, the woman can have a baby. I mean, we were watching the Joe Rogan show the other day, and I'm not telling anyone to watch it because it gets wild, but I like to watch parts of it to see where the world's at, what they're thinking. Because if you want to know the perspective, go on the Joe Rogan show.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole thing is like they're saying that you could have
an abortion up to the baby. Month.
Or the girl could basically, the baby could pop out into the doctor's hands, and then the girl can say, I need to abort the kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, is this?
Yeah,
this is crazy. It went from like being a certain amount of months to like actually having a baby and then saying, "I want to abort it." I mean, this is just crazy.
Well, the thing is like as you continue to move these boundaries wider and wider, where does it end? And that is like the thing that happened in New York City, where it's talking about the in the ninth month being able to terminate. Now, as Joe Rogan and the guys are kicking around, it's like, where does it end? These guys aren't even Christians. They're not Christians at all.
They're far from it.
Joe Rogan is an atheist, agnostic, whatever you want to say, but being able to be like cringe in the realization, like, that's a human. That's a baby.
Yeah.
And this doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Now, is somebody that doesn't believe in the God who created the heavens and the earth and spoke the word into existence. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God. If he is like, oh man, that's horrible. What is going on in our world today where people can approve of such things and put it under the skies of a woman's health is really what, and it's all jargon. There is stuff that is so misconstrued in laws and in our world today. I'm not saying that I'm an expert at those things at all, but I will say that you don't need to have much discernment to be able to say, like, this is legit wrong.
And if you don't, you got an issue.
Yeah.
Because you need if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, the job is to convict it. It will show you. I mean, it's crazy. We know that the scriptures say that Satan is the prince of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
He dominates his world, you know, call it what you want, one world order, Illuminati, you know, there is a power that Satan is talking to that's here on earth, the elect, or not the elect, but whoever these people are, and they're getting Satan's agenda, and they're pushing it. I mean, baby sacrifice is basically what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do it back in the old days with the god of Molech, back in the Old Testament. Now, you know, we know that Satanists, which, you know, Satanists, they do blood sacrifice. They sacrifice babies. That's the highest form of a sacrifice to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So these people who are pushing these laws, you know, they're a part of that whole Luciferian, you know, that whole satanic. It's all satanic at the end of the day. All roads lead to Satan. And that's what this whole agenda is. And the fact that it's actually in America, that was founded by Christians at one point, that it's happening, and people are like, yeah, man, do it. Like, it's crazy.
There's someone, and I don't know if it's happened already or it's proposed to be happening soon, that I don't know if it was Focus on the Family. Somebody is going to be buying time on the Times Square screens. Have you heard about that?
Uh-uh.
That actually is for a pro-life thing, that is be showing like a baby in the womb, like at 7 or 8 months in New York City. Just to show that at that time, the baby has everything intact.
That's amazing.
Has eyes, hands are formed, all of these things. The baby is a baby. My brother, his child was premature, had the baby at 7 months. You know, they're grown up now. They're still kids, but totally able to survive and to live. Like, that is a life. It's a life. I just pray that people will really, really wake up to these things. And as we're talking about these things, I know at the same time too, like, all of us can find ourselves in deception. You know, we get caught up. We look at things of this world in a lot of ways. I have a background where my girlfriends had abortions back in the day. God's forgiven me. And for those that are out there right now as well, maybe they've gone through with this aspect as well. The Lord can forgive you as well.
Yep.
I'm
guilty too.
Yeah, everything is forgivable. But to continue doing these things and to, you know, turn a blind eye to it isn't right either.
Evil prevails because good people do nothing. Some old school guy did that quote.
And this is a big one, and we could probably talk about this on the other side. And this goes into the sexual crazy nature thing again, and this is the R. Kelly thing. R. Kelly was he's a huge artist. I mean, he wasn't my cup of tea, musician or whatever, but wasn't really like a rapper. He was more of like an actual singer.
Like an R&B guy?
Like R&B guy. Made a lot of famous songs. I think he's written a bunch of songs back in the day. There was always...
He was worth $120 million at one point.
What? Really? Like, yeah, no. He That's wrote like tons of songs. They say he was so talented, even though he grew up... Now, this is the thing about him. I saw some stuff. He was exposed to pornography and sex stuff at a very young age, like 8, 9 years old, and got caught up. Couldn't read or write, but can actually put together a lot of music or whatever. So his talent just opened up all these doors, blew up, and had all of these opportunities, but he had a major sex addiction. And so everybody's been talking about, this has been one of the big trending things in our nation, is this show that was released. I don't know if it was on Amazon Prime or Netflix, and it's all these ex-girlfriends, ex-managers, ex-security guards, all these guys that saying, like, the things that they saw were crazy. They'd, like, this guy that didn't do a recording with him for a while, an engineer, radio, a sound engineer, came to his studio to help him with a song, and he said he came into the studio. Inside the studio, there was just, like, a bed with a girl right behind, like, the mixing board. And then he'd do a song, then he'd go hook up with her. Go down the hallway, in another door, there'd be another girl there. Go down the hallway, another girl. And he's like, those girls look young, too. He was known in the community that city to drive by this high school. And he would wait outside the high school, you know, very impressionable 16-year-old, 15-year-old girls.
Give me a break.
R. Kelly probably balling in some ride
or
whatever.
Rolling up in a Bentley.
Picking up these girls, and he was known to just lace them with a bunch of stuff and just...
So he was drugging them.
Partying with them. Yeah, you know, traveling all over the place. There's a lot of things. There's always rumors about a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a famous girl, R&B girl back in the day named Aaliyah, who was famous, had a couple of big songs. She died in a plane crash years ago. But he got her to marry him when she was 16 years old or 15 years old, something crazy, like flew her out, big old thing. They got it annulled or whatever. She was asked about this years later. And they asked what she thought about R. Kelly, and she's like, she never wanted to talk about it because what she went through as a young girl. Mm-hmm. But she said this one thing to her close friend: he is an evil man. People that are coming out today are saying that it is like a real life cult. And so as the show was produced and out all these streams, detectives and everything, like all their alarms went off more. They went in, all of these charges were brought, young girls, man. I mean, young high school girls, you'd go see them at the basketball game at their high school. Coaches are like, what's this grown man doing here? And then they would find out that she was involved in like some video scenes with her. A lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
and now
crazy.
He has a lot of accusations that are against him. And there are a lot of these things. And again, I'll say the same thing. It is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And there is demonic influence all around for sure.
100%. So you let Satan get in. And it always starts with like a little compromise, you know. This is for the believers, guys that are trying to follow God, and maybe you're even trying to follow God right now, and you just feel like you keep ending up in the same situation. You have to head to the cross. The bottom line is you have to stop watching this stuff. You got to get plugged into church. You got to start reading. You got to go after Jesus, and God will start transforming your life. You don't have to live this way. This isn't the life that you're going to always have. God is in the business of changing and transforming lives. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to break in a minute, but I want to plug, we are touring. Hit us up at thewhosoevers.com. Book us. We'd love to come to the schools, the middle schools, high schools, public schools, where you're at. And I'm also touring the churches, doing the God Signs and the Storms message. And, you know, we're going to talk about this stuff in church. We're going to talk about this stuff with the kids. We want to let them know that God loves them. He wants to forgive them, and he wants to empower them to do great things. God's in the business of getting ordinary men and doing extraordinary things. So he's going to do it in your life. You just got to seek him, and you will find him. You need to resist the devil, and he will flee and be powered with the Holy Spirit so you can live that life. Everything that was going on with those allegations. But, you know, what's interesting, Sean, is those statistics I just sent you. That was sent to me from Leslie from a pregnancy teen center. And it's getting crazy on campus with the students. Again, this is why we need to get in front of students. Because if we can get the gospel in front of students and get people to find Jesus Christ and get filled with the Spirit, crimes, misbehavior, and all that stuff's going to go down.
Yeah.
Because they have God's Spirit in them. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit, obviously. So let's read a couple of these things, and we'll talk a little bit more into it.
Okay, so this was given to Ryan over the subject dating, violence, assault, and teens statistics.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say what I warn you.
Loud noises!
Assault and teens statistics. Also, this is important to note because she's saying, who studies this a lot, says this. These are just the ones that are reported. My time in the schools make me believe that the numbers are much higher.
Yeah.
So let me give you those stats. The cultural impact, 2017 Youth Risk Behavior Survey shows that 7.4% of high school students report to have been forced to have sex. Also, sexual minority youth are at greater risk of being forced to have sex. Nearly 12% of high school females reported physical violence from a dating partner in the 12 months before they were surveyed. For high school males, more than 7% reported physical violence and about 5% reported sexual violence from a dating partner. Violence is related in certain risk factors. The risk of having unhealthy relationships increases for teens who believe that dating violence is acceptable. This is what happens when you start being in like an abusive relationship and you're not letting anyone know about it. And you wonder how these people get caught up in these things. Before you know it, they're like hooked.
Yeah.
They almost feel like they deserve it, or if it's a way of a relationship. They believe that dating violence is acceptable, are depressed, anxious, or have other symptoms of trauma, use drugs or illegal substances. And we've heard this before. Going to schools, you've heard it. I've heard it as a pastor that have been either molested or involved sexually at a very young age and traumatic experiences, and now they're given over to drugs and everything to kind of numb the pain. Mm-hmm. Engage in early sexual activity and have multiple sexual partners and have a friend involved in teen dating violence, witness or experience violence in the home. So literally is what it's saying is that as they've gone through all of these different high schools, the percentages that they're giving here are saying that they're even much more higher than they are leading in this report, but it's affecting all males, females, some of it as a from a violent level, some of it being forced to have sexual encounters with individuals, and some just like physical violence as well. The results of it, though, are the same, and they're staggering, and that is that it has ramifications for the life for a long time. Something that happens at those young ages, it starts affecting the way they look at relationships, how they are to be treated.
They start thinking, oh, you know, if I date a guy that beats me, it's normal because I've been beaten ever since I was in sixth grade or, you know, seventh grade.
Or they've seen it in the home.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of those things where they feel like it's the norm. This is just how a relationship ends, and definitely shouldn't be. This goes into like the immorality of the stuff that we're talking about as well, because what starts happening is that people look at people as just items, just sexual encounters, not individuals. You get your lust, revved up so high, you can't control it. Think about it. Let me give you.
I used to be like that.
I know.
I would just look at girls like for sex.
Yeah, and it can numb you. You might.
You're not thinking about dating a girl, having a relationship, or even having a conversation.
Let me tell you this too. Both of us went through gnarly relationships when we were younger. I was with a girl for my high school year. It ended devastating. And what you do is now that after that's done, you get numb. Then you start treating people worse. Girls, you've said the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you were in a very serious relationship. And after that, and when you went to Circa and all that kind of stuff, you kind of use women because you didn't have that emotional connection, or you wouldn't let yourself go there. Right?
Yeah. Walls come up. You get jacked by one girl.
Uh-huh.
She cheats on you or whatever it happens, and then your walls come up, and then you're pretty much you're messed up in your head.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of these people are seeing today. I was going to say, like,
I think, you know, honestly, I think a lot of that stuff too that's happening is because, I mean, we know old statistics are, you know, we've said this number before, these are old. We need to get some new numbers. But 68% of men in the church consume pornography. So outside of church, it's higher. Yeah. You know, and these are old statistics. New statistics said that an average kid gets into pornography at 6 years old. R. Kelly got into porn at 6 years old.
Yeah.
Now, we know the progression of pornography. Your lust, your body appetites are alive. And we know that even Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer, he was into porn at a young age, and he got into really violent porn, and that led him to being a mass murderer. Hmm. So, you mean, I'm just, as you can kind of see, I'm trying to pull all these things together. And you see, when you get into this life of pornography and these different things and following your sexual appetite, you're angry, your body appetites for sex is like at peaking, and you want to act out, and things happen. Violence happens.
Yep.
It gets crazy.
Yep.
So, and these are all, again, effects of all this stuff. The eye is a light to the body. You start putting this stuff in, you're going to start entering these situations.
Yeah, you know what's so crazy too? It's like, as we're talking about these things as problems in our culture today, we've seen it in times past. We experienced it when we were young kids. The Bible, this is one of the moments, like, where I read the Bible my first time. When you go through Leviticus, which is a pretty hard book, one thing that tripped me out is how they brought everything into consideration. How God put everything in consideration. What I was mean by that is by sexuality. Mm-hmm. He addresses adultery, obviously. He addresses fornication, having sex out of marriage. But he also addresses homosexuality. He explains bestiality. He explains all of these things of the depravity of sexuality and what can happen, how it can own you and destroy your life. There is an example that we have in the Bible of David. David was a man of God's own heart. He had children, and he had one son named Ammon. Ammon loved his sister so much, and it wasn't like a love, like an adoration. Lust.
It's like his
so much,
right?
Yes, so much that he pursued. He was really sick, and he's like, I don't want anyone else but her to come to me. And like, really? Like, okay, yeah. And so she would make him meals, and he grabbed her. He was faking that he was more sick than what he was, grabbed her, then forced her to have sex with him. After he had sex with her, what he says, he's like, get away from me. I'm done. Go. Leave. And she's like, why would you first, you know, try to have sex with me as this is something that's going to bring a bad shame to you and to myself? And then after he had sex with her, he's like, you know what? It's going to be worse if you kick me out. And he's like, no, just go. He had it. This is the thing about lust. It's never fulfilled.
Never.
And it owns you and destroys you. And that was a thing that really destroyed David's family. Understand, that's a story that's in the Bible thousands and thousands of years ago. And so we see the problem of lust and perversion that has been a problem for the beginning of history because of the demonic warfare that's there of sexuality. God created sex, but Satan wants to pervert it and distort it.
The Bible talks about sexual immorality a lot.
It does.
It always addresses it. All through the New Testament, it's always like the first couple.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something about that the enemy can use because it has such a strong hold.
It does.
On you. Because sex is like, you know, it feels good. You know, yeah. We've talked about it. It's not like doing a drug where you get high. You feel good, but then, you know, you come down.
Yeah.
You get drunk, you get hungover. It's like there's always those ups and downs.
Right.
Where sex is, it's something that we were, and also we weren't created to take drugs. We were actually created to have sex.
Correct.
So Satan just uses this.
Uses
hardcore.
Yeah.
And because of the progression of it, he knows that he can take you from the guidelines that sex is for, mm-hmm. the way we are created, and then he knows that he could just slowly get in there and distort it and get you so far gone.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing is even like when you look at the gay community or the, you know, transgender or whatever, you know, people have sex with other people or the same sex, is that, you know, we've talked to a lot of people that have come out of that or that are dealing with it. You could tell a drug addict, hey, dude, like, stop doing drugs. And, like, in the back of their head, they know they need to stop doing drugs.
Right.
But when you're talking to someone that's used to having sex with a man, having sex with a man, he already, like, broke that circle of that, I'm trying to think of that word, those guidelines mm-hmm. that God created us to be in. And he already left that. And it's hard to come back to that. I mean, it's almost impossible. You know, good thing, you know, good thing that we have Christ because he can do anything. But, you know, just like with pornography, it's like you start with soft porn. And once you start getting into the hardcore porn, you can't even go back to the soft porn. Yeah. That stuff doesn't even work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does nothing for someone like that.
Yeah.
So when you put yourself in a situation with sex, Satan knows all he has to do is get in there through pornography to the straight man. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what's even better for him is to get you out of and even through pornography, he'll introduce you to homosexuality.
Yeah.
Because when you're watching pornography, there's multiple people in there. And for whatever reason, the enemy's all up in that business. He'll get your eye to get into the man on man or girl on girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about this on one show recently is that, you know, you talk to some Christians and they're like, man, you know, the gay community, this and that, and they're all over them. But then, you know, I heard one guy tell me that he told them, hey, man, you're so down on the gays. He's like, have you ever watched a girl on girl in a porn? And the guy's like, yeah, but that, he's like, well, that's your support homosexuality. No, man, that's different. It's not different. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And Satan is so smart through sexuality that I think porn is just a huge thing that Satan is using to really get a hook on this generation.
It is. And I mean, going from this show, you know, we wanted to bring up a lot of these multiple issues of what we see in current events. And it's just natural as all of them have this connection, the ones that we brought up at least, mm-hmm. to this, the sexuality mm-hmm. perverted. From that newscaster to the R. Kelly thing, mm-hmm. You know, another one, not to go through all of these headlines or whatever, but this is a big one. I mean, Bill Cosby was known as one of the biggest comedians, the cleanest, known as the moral comedian. He used to put Eddie Murphy on blast all the way through the 80s. He was known as like a family guy on The Cosby Show, one of the most syndicated shows growing up throughout the mm-hmm. 80s to the early 90s. He's in prison for life. For now, multiple reports of drugging women way back in the day. Yeah. And these, again, all are the result of a lust uncontrolled. And what it can destroy.
Yeah, to get you to go that far.
Yep. Will cost your own life.
Yeah.
That will lead you to a prison cell.
I mean, that's like some serious like deception going on.
Well, you know, we talk about this like in the Christian life, right? Mm-hmm. How many have we seen that have walked with God and have fallen prey to the same thing? Satan doesn't quit. And that you're right. You know, you can overcome drugs and alcohol by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But walking with God, most likely, if you're walking with God, you're in a place, you're doing ministry or whatever, you're maybe not around drugs. I'm sure you're not as much. You're not around drugs all the time. You're around females all the time. Mm-hmm. You can, if you allow those guards to go down, you allow these backdoor relationships to start happening, before you know it, you might be going through a problem in your marriage or maybe you're single or whatever, and you start playing with the enemy a little bit. And what I mean by that is you start getting a little bit closer to the edge, you know, and before you know it, you get caught up. And I say these things because you don't want to put on a front. Like, it's a reality that we're all facing.
This is a danger that we all have to watch our backs. Yeah. Any of us could get taken out anytime. Sure. You hear about pastors getting taken out. You hear about all kinds of people getting taken out, Christian or non-Christian. The enemy, he wants to take everybody out. Mm-hmm. We have to seriously watch our back. We need to watch our eyes.
Yeah.
It all comes down to what we're seeing.
Yeah.
The eyes, it's a light to the body.
It is. It's an overload with all the information. That was one of the texts that we got in a little bit ago that kind of gave us like a breakdown. And I think this is interesting as well. Check this out. It says, Americans consume 100,000 words of information every day. Study says that the average American consumes 100,000 words, or about 34 gigabytes. And when you're talking about, well, I don't read that much. Well, you got to take in consideration all the words that you're hearing through music, that you're hearing through the radio, that you're listening through television, through conversation. And this is an average mean, it's saying. The average American consumes 100,000 words, or about 34 gigabytes of information. I don't know how much your gigabytes your iPhone has, but it probably doesn't have that much of information every day. According to your new report, as a nation, that's 3.6 million gigabytes of information. But that was in 2008.
My gosh, that's old.
Yeah, 2019 today. So you can just, you know, take in consideration how much more this is growing. And really, as you said a little bit ago, social media at its peak, I mean, 10, 15 years, I mean, for the most part, and the whole world is changing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. We're in this life, we're in this world. We got to be able to navigate properly in this world. There's no doubt people are battling with anxiety and depression, all these things. A lot of surveys are coming back is because of being inundated with so much information. We know that there is a lust and sexual problem in our world today. It's obvious. Many of these issues we brought up today have a link to it. We've seen it. We deal with a lot of people. We know there's a lot of people hurting out there. Mm-hmm. I get emails all the time or inboxes. I know you do too as well. Like, I'm walking with God, but this is my problem. I can't get these thoughts out of my mind. I can't stop lusting. How can I fix this? I met with somebody just last night. I want my marriage to be right. I've been married for 8 years, and yet I have battle. I'm like, well, you watch porn? He's like, no, not really. I'm like, you don't watch porn? That's not your battle? He's like, no, I just being out and about and looking at girls and checking out girls and stuff, like it's like an addiction I can't fix, and my wife sees it and it's destroying my marriage. And again, this is where the Bible says to be holy as he is holy. That might seem like this old-fashioned terminology, and it might seem like something like I can't attain, but being holy literally means just being set apart for God's use, and it's a place of rest.
So basically set apart, just saying, look, God, I'm yours.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want with my life. I'm going to follow you. And you're trying your best every day to just follow
God's
him,
a priority in your life.
Always having him in the back of your mind.
God's a priority in your life. And you know that you're not a perfect man or you're not a perfect woman, but you pick up your cross. That's what it is. It's denial of the flesh. It's like, I don't got it figured out, but Lord, I know that I didn't have it figured out back in the world. I know that if I give into these things again, my life's going to be in chaos. I don't want my marriage to be destroyed. Yeah. I don't want my name to be driven through the mud. Yeah. I don't want my life to fall in a result of some of these people that I have seen fall prey to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't look down upon these guys in a way of like, oh man, like I can't believe it. No, it's like the heart of man can go veer off. And the Bible says all of our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Yep. Just think about it. You get upset, you get angry, you could start thinking in your mind, like, I'm going to get that fool back, you know? Oh, yeah. You can start, your heart can just go there right away. And again, if your heart and your mind isn't covered with the word of God, all those other things can go into the perversion, like just all of the things of the flesh. And the enemy, that's all he wants to do. I say this. You know, as the Bible says, the difference between light and darkness, light is of the Lord, darkness is of the enemy. Well, you know where the enemy wants you? To just walk in the shadows. A little bit. Just cover a little track. Hide your phone from your wife a little bit. Don't let her see what you're looking at.
Secrets.
Just a little bit.
Little secrets.
Just little stuff like that. And before you know it, if you're not careful and you don't go back into the light, you start walking in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And in the darkness, you don't see where you're going from. You don't see where you're going. You don't see things that are coming your way. And you're an open target for the enemy. And so we say these things and we do this show so that we can bring up these issues that many of you guys are facing and that you can relate to. We're in this battle together. But the same remedy is true. And that is the power of the Lord, the power of his Holy Spirit. If you're tuning in right now, this is Live with Ryan Rees. We've been talking about various issues throughout the show today. We always want to bring your attention to going to ryan-rees.com, where you can find a lot of stuff on there. Also, the whosoevers.com, which has a bunch of product. All of the product that is sold goes right back into the Whosoever movement. But also, one thing we definitely want you to do is to download the Whosoever's app. You have the opportunity to very easily, it's very user-friendly, to be able to watch all of these shows, to be able to be up to speed with all that's taking place with the Whosoever's, a lot of stuff that's taking place in Ryan's ministry as well.
Where is that verse at?
Which one?
The eyes of light. Oh, I found it. Here we go. So your eye is a light, or actually my version says your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. Uh-huh. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. Mm-hmm. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Yep. That's what I want to read, that last part. When you were saying that last thing, it reminded me of that end part. You might be listening right now, and you might be that person that what you think is light is actually darkness in your life. You think you're living in the light, but maybe you're not. So this is where you need to ask God, because maybe you're saying, my marriage is messed up, this and that, and why can't I do this? Maybe the light that you think you have is really darkness. Mm-hmm. You need to go to God, seek him, ask him for forgiveness, and ask him to reveal everything that is dark. Ask him to split the sky, send his Holy Spirit, and to fill you with his presence, the light of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and remove all darkness. Ask him to fill and remove every... I'm going to just pray for you right now. Lord, I just pray that you will reach down from heaven and touch everyone that's listening to this show. And remove, gut, purge, and destroy everything that is unholy in their life in Jesus' name. I also ask, Lord, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. That you will literally fill every place in their life, in their body, in their whole... everything who they are that is empty. Fill it with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you will overflow them now. And Lord, I pray that you will reveal those things that are in their life, that are at their home, that they're watching, that they're listening to. Maybe there's paraphernalia. Maybe there's things in their home, statues of other gods, of Buddha and different idols. They need to remove all that stuff. They need to clean house so they can have that life and that light in their life that is not darkness. Set them free. Just be God and do what you do, Lord, and reveal yourself to them now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I believe that there is a lot of people that are in that darkness. They feel like they can't get out. Probably because they got a bunch of junk in their house, mm-hmm, and junk in their life, and they have darkness that they think is light.
Yep. You got to get it cleansed out. That's what it comes down to.
We got to do it daily. But you got to do it. Sometimes you got to do an overhaul and just clean house, and then every day confess and move forward and ask God to reveal.
You know what I like that you say a lot? You don't say it as much, but you say all the time, I don't need to add anything to my hard drive. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that means adding more junk into it. You don't need it. It isn't enough garbage that's already in. You need that cleansing and that washing of the word, man.
Because it is a hard drive, and you say it. The stuff that we want to remember, we can't. Yep. And the stuff that we're trying to remember, we can't. And then the stuff that we don't want to remember,
yep,
we can always remember that garbage.
It's so easy.
This guy knows Tupac. He knows Too Short, NWA.
All that stuff. How is it that you can remember all that stuff so easily, and then it's a hard, like, what did I just read right now? There's a warfare that's taking place.
Yeah, tell me about that.
There's just a warfare where the enemy just kind of jacks us up so much, and so you need to make a determination in your life. Like, I'm going to serve God. I don't want to add to the garbage in my life. That's why I feel like I'm watching something on television. It's just not right. You know, I'm not in this legalistic relationship with God, but you know what? It's not beneficial to me. I don't need no more garbage. I'm already have issues. I already had so much images that I've seen in my mind that I still battle with. Why do I want to add to that?
Well, here's a fact. An average person watches 10 to 11 hours a day of screen time. Now, this screen is either going to lift you up your soul or encourage your soul, or this screen is going to curse your soul, because the eye is a light to the body.
Yep.
And that's it. It's that simple. Look up that verse, you guys. Be encouraged. What is it? Matthew 6.
Matthew 6, 22 to 23, I believe.
And that's why Sean is on the show.
That's it, right?
Because his memory is amazing. Obviously, I did more drugs than
No, it's amazing doing the show. We want to hear from you guys. You can always comment on any of our social media. Get inboxes for it. You know, send inbox messages. If you want to do it private, we'll get back to you as we can. And we want to talk about all these issues that you guys are facing. You're not alone, man. There's a lot of people that are hurting.
We love you guys. And tune in this next week, Saturday nights, live call-in. We'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear your story. And always remember, you could go to thewhosoevers.com. We got some sick product always. And the sales of our product funds our high school tours. It helps it. All right. We love you guys. Take it easy. Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
Students today face many more distractions and problems than ever before. Drug abuse, depression, broken families, self-harm, suicide are just a few of the issues they have to overcome. A 15-year-old living today gathers as much information in one day as a 15-year-old would gather 80 years ago in one year. 23% of male students in high school and 37% of female students in high school struggle with depression. On our school tours, we've encountered a sense of hopelessness because of the rise of suicide, depression, and anxiety. The Whosoever's mission is to deliver a message of truth of the gospel to the students and empower them to realize their true purpose in life. Our Kill the Noise school tour reaches out to them with a message of hope. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I love what Jesus says. The harvest is ripe, the workers are few. Here we are.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouillier. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.